You know it's Shabbat Chaye Sarah. And you know that one of the amazing leaders in the holy city of Hebron is our dear friend Yishai Fleischer. And I know what he's going to say. He's going to say, Nachum, don't be upset. Don't be depressed that we have hardly a crowd for Chaye Sarah this year. Are you kidding? Next year, it'll be double the normal size. I have a feeling that's going to be Yishai's attitude. But let's find out for ourselves. The amazing Yishai Fleischer with us live via telephone here at JM in the AM. Shalom, my friend. A pleasure to welcome you back to JM in the AM.
Thank you, Nachum. Great to be with you. I'm standing right at the bottom steps of the Marat HaMachpelah. I'm looking at it right now, and we're getting ready for a big event that's happening in 3 hours with some of the Israel's most important rabbis, and a live stream event, and praying both in honor of Shabbat Chaye Sarah and also praying for the safety and security of the state of Israel, the strength of the Israeli soldiers, and the speedy return of all of our abductees and hostages.
And the word is that you'll likely be joined by some of the family members of the hostages.
Yes. We even have the mayor of our sister community, Kiryat Arba, his son is one of the abductees.
Oh my God.
That's right. The mayor himself, his son was doing defense. The way that he was kidnapped is that he was doing security for that nature event, that big concert. And he was rescuing people, and he went back and forth and back and forth, and was pulling people out, and until he finally was abducted himself. So that's the kind of folks that we grow here in Hebron.
Yeah.
And so that's the kind of kid that he was. We're gonna have and we also lost two soldiers that were killed here in Kiryat Arba as well. So we have to be real. The situation is real, you know.
Yeah.
There's people that have been killed. There's people that are abducted. There's a war on, and it's. I just wanted to tell you that had we allowed the crowd to come in for Shabbat Chaye Sarah, we would easily have here 20,000 people. People were, the phone was ringing off the hook. It wouldn't even be a problem. The issue was is that the army asked that we won't, that we would cancel all the events and the hospitality so that they wouldn't have extra work to do so that people could stay safer.
Oh yeah.
And we agreed with that assessment.
Yeah,
so,
I mean we totally get that. Obviously we totally get it, but I'm assuming that this Shabbat is going to be like any normal Shabbat, so to speak, if there is such a thing as a normal Shabbat in Hebron. And am I right that your attitude to me and publicly is, you know, this is part of Netzach Yisrael, and just wait, soon we're going to have a Shabbat Hebron Chaye Sarah that's going to be the largest one ever?
I mean, yes. That's definitely true, but I'm not even looking past it so much right now. The truth is, we're pretty focused on the situation that we have right now, and so I'm just worried about this year, and people staying safe and beating back the bad guys. So you know, Chaye Sarah is never normal at Marat HaMachpelah because, it's the Shabbat that we speak of the original purchase of the Jewish people's rights in the land of Israel.
Right.
That's being challenged right now. So here, by the way, at Marat HaMachpelah, they say Avinu Malkeinu at all the prayers. Shachris Mincha. And they say, that's part of the deal. And when you say it here, you just, that you are taken seriously. So, what will be next year? You know, maybe we'll have a Beit HaMikdash. But I think it's important for us to concentrate on fighting this war this year, and not to talk with too much hubris about, the grand victory, because I think that we all saw that when we have too much hubris and too much, certitude, it doesn't work in our favor.
Yeah.
And I've always said that.
Yeah. We, from the beginning, we've been saying how arrogance and overconfidence is certainly not a friendly partner when it comes to these things. I mean, you've been outspoken, obviously, and for good reason, about Eretz HaShlema and the, I'm obviously, again, just reminding our audience, one of the people who was leading the call that the Gaza disengagement should never take place. That's just one example, obviously, in very recent history. Do you, I understand you don't think about the eventualities, and yes, there's a war being fought and everything is hour to hour, day to day, etc. But do you think about what the future of this specific area, meaning Gaza, could mean for the future of the Jewish state? Because there's going to be a debate about what type of presence the army slash Israeli citizens will have in that region of what we call Greater Israel. Do you think about that at all as this war continues?
Absolutely. I mean, Greater Israel, it's not even Greater Israel. It's a basic Israel. It's fundamental Israel. Just look at the map. Just look at the map. The map itself says everything. You know, many borders in this world are created through natural borders. Just look at the map. That Gaza Strip, we used to control that. I remember it very well. We fought to not leave Gaza. Now, and we told them, we said, you know, you're going to leave Gaza, the Hamas is going to take over, the jihad is going to take over, it's going to be a nightmare. And everybody had a thousand excuses why it wouldn't be so, because they're very smart, very, very smart. We said, I'm not so smart. It's just simple to me that if you give away this land, the jihad's going to take over. But they were smart. They had all kinds of, you know, technological and other things that they knew would avert this thing. And they said that if the Gazans would fire one rocket, we would smash them. Tens of thousands of rockets later, October the 7th later after that, we now see that that whole conception was a wrong conception. I believe that Israel should control Gaza, should govern Gaza. I think we should have Jewish people living there. I've written so many times. I think that that makes sense. I also think we should control the Sinai, which is also a wider, you know, maybe that's not the issue right now, but it's related because a lot of the terror infrastructure was snuck in through the Sinai. In any case, we should control this moment right now. Should be a time when the Israeli army reoccupies Gaza, controls it, and then we start to do what the Golda Meir government did in the 70s, which is try to resettle it, try to put communities there and make communities strong. And then the land flourishes and the jihad is subdued.
Right.
And that also sends a signal to the jihad that when they mess with us, this is what happens, which is something that they understand.
Right. Understood. Yishai Fleischer with us from Hebron. Yishai, very few people know the media and the government representatives of the European countries and others around the world. You've greeted a lot of them in Hebron, and over the years, even before you were with Hebron, you had this relationship with so many of the officials responsible for, I don't know, overseeing and reporting on the situation. Give me your view of world leadership reaction, and in general, the criticism that Israel is coming under in terms of how they are responding to the October 7th massacre.
Well, you know, friends are friendlier and enemies are enemier. anybody who didn't like Israel beforehand, this is a great thing to hang their anti-Semitism on and to just say, look, Israel's doing a massacre and all that kind of stuff and international law. And I have to hand it to the bad guys. I really have to hand it to them. They waited for the right president, the right time, the right atmosphere on campus. They really did a lot of work, and they had kind of like you know, just a perfect timing. And you see some of the rallies, and I've spoken to Jews in New York and in Philadelphia and other places. People are really uncomfortable. People are, I don't like to use this word, but people are scared. There are parts of the international community that are giving Israel a hard time. We even had all kinds of ambassadors leave, I think Bolivia and Chile and another Chile and another South American country. And, you know, I thought to myself, most important thing is to write down right now who did what, so that when the time comes and there'll be a reckoning, we'll remember who stood with us and who stood against us. But there are others who see us as having a just war. But I want to tell you that in Israel right now, like, a lot of people are looking inward. Politicians are asking themselves, you know, are we going to survive this thing? I mean to say, politically speaking, the politicians are asking themselves, are they going to last this thing? And I think Netanyahu, for example, he doesn't want to do his whole career to go down in flames, his whole history to go down in flames because of this thing. So he wants to fight a strong battle and to destroy Hamas as a minimum. So that's, you know, so right now, kind of, you know, a foreign opinion be damned a little bit. And there's definitely a sense of like, come on, are you guys going to tell us what to do again? Because right now the average Israeli feels the pain. Everybody knows somebody. Everybody knows somebody. There's just one degree between you and somebody who either has a child
I think in the American Jewish community it's one degree. Imagine what it is in Israel.
Yeah, this American Jewish police officer was just killed. A young Ola, 20 years old. She was just killed. I think Rose was her name. Yeah. And the bottom line is that right now is not a time to take too much into account what the bad guys or what the haters or what the accusers are saying. It's really a time to kind of that's part of the reckoning, which is maybe we've been paying attention too much to foreign conversations. Yesterday I put up a post on Twitter saying that Israel's back to Gaza and we're here to stay, and all kinds of Jews reached out to me and said, oh my God, you're giving ammunition to the jihadis because you're telling them that this is not just about Hamas, but it's also about resettling Gaza. You're giving them ammunition. I said to them, do you really think that they need my ammunition now? Do you really think that that's what this is about? Like, after such a horrific event, don't you see past that? Don't you see that it's time to also talk to them a language that they understand? One of the things that is said around here is that we have to learn to speak Arabic, and it doesn't mean in the linguistic sense, but in a, talk Middle Eastern.
And think like them as well.
That's right.
There are some people who are doing that. And I remember, 18 years ago, some of the heroes of the Yom Kippur War were with me on the air during the Gaza disengagement. And they're obviously, through their experience, obviously have their perspective. And they said to me, yeah, we're not, this is not a panic situation. We know we're going to be back. We know we're going to build those towns again, those cities, and flourish and enjoy the beautiful beach, etc. And, I was somewhat skeptical, as you could imagine, living 6,000 miles away. And look what's happening. What they said and what you're saying looks like it's becoming a reality.
On the one hand, yes. But on the other hand, again, I tell you, I see now how I've seen it forever, but it's obvious to me now that we actually have to take this situation as a little less than, as we say in Hebrew, muvan me'elav, as though it's a for sure conclusion. There's a very serious war, and the truth is, if I looked at it without my Hashem eyes, God forbid, for just a second, if I would analyze it, I would say we've got enemies in Lebanon, we got enemies in Gaza, we've got enemies in Iraq, Iran, Yemen, American campus, media, maybe parts of the American administration. So the point is that we have a I wouldn't call it a simple strategic position that we're in. And so we have to be quite serious, and therefore I want our prayers to be serious and our efforts to support to be serious and our whole mindset to be to come out of that place where we're like, it's a foregone conclusion that we're going to win. We've been hurt. Our people are very hurt. We have communities right now that are evacuated. I'm talking about hundreds of thousands of Israelis are not in their homes. Sderot is empty. Kiryat Shmona is empty. That's unbelievable. So the enemy has managed to hit us and strike us, and we have to be a little, how should we say, it's like when somebody comes into the emergency room. Like right now is the time, not the time to be like it's all going to be great. Right now is the time to understand that like we were hit hard. We need to do two kinds of tshuva now. One tshuva is the tshuva of come back to Hashem, come back to Shabbat, come back to Achdus. And the other tshuva, I call it the Derech Eretz tshuva, to stop doing stupid things, stop allowing our enemies to arm themselves right in front of our eyes and to practice our demise right in front of our eyes, to not allow the internationals like the UNRWA and others to teach horrific jihadism to Arab children, etc. We have to stop allowing stupid things to happen on our soil and realize that these things have real consequences. There's real, real consequences here right now, and there's very real pain and real damage has been done, and now we're going to have to work real hard to come back to Gaza, come back to just the Gaza envelope, just to those communities, just to come back and repopulate them. It's nish pashut. And so right now it's going to be a serious effort to, how do we say it, shikum, to rehabilitate the Israel, to make it strong again, to get the military in the right mindset, to stop playing games, and also to do the tshuva of achdus, and Shabbat, and other things, tziut, minimal things that are the ways to get the bracha back into this land.
And it seems that internationally, certainly in Israel, internationally, I would agree as well that people have been moving, thank God, in that direction.
Bezrat Hashem. Nachum, I want to thank you and ask you to release me to get to work here at the Maratha Machpelah to prepare for tonight's event. The event will be live on Arutz Sheva. It'll be live on our Chevron Facebook pages. It'll have Rav Shmuel Eliyahu, Rav Dov Lior, Rav Schwartz, who's the chief rabbi of this area now, and also, as you said before, the parents of the fallen, parents or brothers and sisters of the abductees. And we're going to take it seriously. This is our Chaye Sarah effort to try to send the signal of the mamas and papas into the ether, into the world, and open up the heavens a little bit.
Thank
you so much for letting me be with you.
A pleasure. Good luck tonight. Keep us in mind. And Am Yisrael Chai, B'yachad Ninatzeach. He is Yishai Fleischer, international spokesman, Holy City of Hebron, a very different Shabbat Chaye Sarah. And those of you who are able to try to participate by watching from around the world as they have this very, very meaningful program going on a couple of hours from now. More coming up. It's Thursday. It's JM in the AM.
בסלון העיר יושבים משפחות של צדיקים מתוך אמונה ותקווה שומרים על העיר הקדושה ואנו פה נושאים תפילה לאחדותה של האומה לשנה הבאה לחברון הבנויה חברון עיר האבות שלנו לדורי דורות מאז לעד ולתמיד לנצח נצחים חברון עיר האבות שלנו לדורי דורות מאז לעד ולתמיד לנצח נצחים שירו ביחד
חברון עיר האבות שלנו לדורי דורות מאז לעד ולתמיד
לנצח נצחים חברון עיר האבות שלנו לדורי דורות מאז לעד ולתמיד לנצח נצחים חברון חברון לנצח לנצח נצחים
JM and the AM, that was some conversation with Yishai Fleischer, to say the least.